May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1123. Stretched on the cross, the Saviour dies. Hark, his expiring groans arise. See, from his hands, his feet, his side, runs down the sacred crimson tide. Hymn 1123.
Thank you.
Let us read together in the second epistle of General of Peter, chapter 1. The first chapter in the second epistle, General of Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first,
that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls and teach us to pray. O Lord, we come once more before thee, poor company of poor, needy sinners, favoured to gather in thy earthly court. And we humbly trust that thou hast appointed this occasion from eternity past, that our own souls might be fed, that souls might be established in the truth, that souls might be edified, but Lord, oh, that souls might learn of Jesus Christ, there might be that reaching forth after him this night, in the desire of him, and all that is found in him, that complete sufficiency for the needs of thy people, both in providence and in grace. And yet, Lord, we are sinners, and we do not deserve anything at thy hand, thou knowest. And yet, Lord, to whom else can we go, for thou hast the words of eternal life? And we pray then there may be found in our hearts that precious grace of living faith in exercise, that there might be that hearing of faith given, and that souls may be nourished. But Lord, that thy name might be magnified in the hearts of poor needy sinners, wherein there is that true spirit of worship known in the heart, and that spirit of praise to thee for what thou art and what thou hast done. We pray for the outpouring of thy dear Holy Spirit, for Lord, without thy dear Holy Spirit, we shall meet in vain. And Lord, thou hast said, they that worship thee, me, must worship me in spirit and in truth. And Lord, oh, without thy gracious help, we cannot. And yet, Lord, is there not that desire in our hearts so to do? For Lord, although unworthy though we are, oh, it is thee we desire to know, thy voice to hear, that thou will come just where we are, that thou will break through the clouds of unbelief, the world and sin, and Lord, that thou will remove all those barriers that are between our souls and God, that we may be enabled by faith to dwell a few moments feelingly in thy gracious presence, and Lord, to know thy smile upon us, and to know thy love shed abroad within our hearts. And yet, Lord, we're unworthy. But, O Lord, our hope is in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus, that work which he accomplished, of which we have just been singing of. And, Lord, there and there alone is a poor sinner's hope. Oh, we pray then, oh, that thou wilt draw us to thyself this night, and that we may be enabled to behold thee by precious faith, to see thee as our Saviour, our Redeemer, and to see our interest in that great work of salvation. Lord, we're unworthy, and yet, Lord, oh, it is that which we know and desire after, that we know, that we might know that we do possess it, and that thou hast revealed thyself to us, and that thou art in our hearts our hope of glory. Oh, Lord, thou knowest those tried and tempted souls before thee, those, Lord, walking under a sense of a burden of sin, the guilt of sin resting upon their consciences, feeling to be far off, so distant from thee. So hard is the heart, and Lord, thou knowest how hard it is. Oh, might it please thee to come and soften our hearts under a sense of thy love and mercy. And Lord, thou knowest those who are feeling after thee. Oh, perhaps at the very beginning of the way, fearing, trembling, much tossed about, many times the devil suggests to them that they are not thy children, that they have no interest in thee and that great work of salvation. And Lord, as those souls feel the weight of sin, the condemnation of sin in their own hearts and consciences, Lord, how distressed they are. And it's those distressed souls we would bear before thee this night, and seek that thou wilt speak a word of comfort into their heart. For Lord, thou hast said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And thou knowest those mourning troubled souls. Lord, we pray, oh, that they may taste of the sweetness and blessedness of the gospel in their own hearts. Draw them away from self and all that is of the creature. And, oh, Lord, may they be sweetly drawn to thee and found resting in the efficacy of thy sin-atoning blood, thy glorious righteousness. Lord, oh, it's where we long to be. We pray that thy dear people here might know it in their own soul's experience. Lord, we're unworthy, but our only plea is that thou wilt look upon us in mercy for Jesus' sake. Lord, we pray then for the dear young people that have gathered. Remember them in their various pathways. Lord, thou knowest those things with which they're surrounded, the evils of the world, and worse still, the evils of their own sinful hearts. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be round about them continually, and might it please thee to quicken them into divine life, and give to them a tender spirit. They may be found seeking after thee in their youthful days. But Lord, if it could please thee, amongst these dear young people, there may be those brought to know their need of thee. But Lord, brought to know thee as their Saviour and their Redeemer in their youthful days. Lord, keep them from evil Leave them not to wander and stray. Leave them not to be enticed by the world. Leave them not to be overcome with the devil's temptations. Lord, garrison them around with thy love and thine infinite mercy. Preserve them from evil and preserve them from themselves. We pray, Lord, for those older in life, and thou knowest those who carry the heat and burden of the day, and those, Lord, tried and tempted ones, those, Lord, perhaps have been seeking thee over many years, and Lord, still they wait, still they come, still they are unable to pour out their hearts before thee, despite the burden they carry, the disappointment that they feel. Lord, do hold them up, we pray. But, oh, might it please thee, even this night, if it is thy holy will, that this might be the set time to favour Zion, that they may receive a token of thy love and mercy to their souls, and Lord, that they might go on their way rejoicing, rejoicing in the Lord and Saviour, in all that he is and what he has done, the wonders of his redeeming love, such love to a poor, needy sinner. Lord, we pray then for those older in life. And some of us, Lord, have lived the greater part of our lives, and Lord, we know it cannot be long. Oh, we pray, oh, that we may have a clearer view of the Lord Jesus Christ and of what he has done. Lord, we mourn. Oftentimes we have such a misty sight, and oftentimes we fear to presume. And yet, Lord, to whom else can we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, do come and brighten our evidences, strengthen our faith, brighten our hope. And Lord, we pray that we may be found sweetly resting in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation and our hope of glory. Lord, bring us there, if it could please thee. Lord, thou knowest we long after it. Bring us to thy feet. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and visit our souls with thy salvation, and shed abroad thy love within our hearts. Lord, we pray for the spiritual prosperity of this little church and people as they gather here to hear the gospel preached. Lord, may it oftentimes be a living word to living souls, that souls may be built up in their most holy faith, that souls here may be rooted and grounded in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that there may truly be that growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray then, oh, that thou wilt bless them, and may and do come and take thy walks amongst them, Lord, and visit souls, feed them with the bread of life. And we pray, Lord, oh, that there yet may be many souls here brought to testify of thy love and mercy to them. We pray then for those that carry the responsibility here. We pray for the deacons, and seek that thou grant to them continually thy upholding grace. Thou knowest the desires of their heart concerning this little house of prayer. Hear their cries. But Lord, Thou knowest the desires that they have concerning their own cases. And Lord, we pray that, oh, that Thou wilt grant to them gracious answers to their petitions. And Lord, we pray now for all Thy true sent servants. Thou knowest where they're labouring this night. Remember them in much mercy, Lord. Thou knowest our felt poverty and our ignorance, Lord. We have nothing. Thou knowest, Lord, it's all in Thee. Do come and fill our seed baskets. And Lord, we pray that the word might go forth in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Lord, the work is Thine. The power is Thine. Oh, may that power be manifest in the hearts of sinners this day. Lord, we pray for all those Thy people, afflicted, tried and tempted ones. Lord, there are those through bodily afflictions unable to gather in Thy earthly courts. We pray for them where they are, and might it please Thee to draw near unto them and speak into their poor hearts. Lord, Thou knowest those that are waiting upon Thee, trusting in Thee. Lord, we commit each one unto Thee. And those that mourn, we pray, Lord, that Thou will be truly, feelingly their heavenly comforter. And Lord, we pray that Thou will grant to them Thy upholding grace, but do sanctify the path to them, that they may see Thy hand in it all. But Lord, that these paths may be sanctified for their spiritual profit, and Thy honour and Thy glory. We pray for Zion, Thy one church, our own little group of churches. Lord, Thou seest the solemnity of the day in which we live. And Thou seest, Lord, all that is taking place amongst us. And Lord, Thou knowest and seest our many sins and transgressions. For Lord, Thy people know it. They feel their distance from Thee on account of it. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou wilt show to us where we have grieved Thee. Bring us to real repentance and true confession and godly sorrow for our sins. Lord, we cannot get there ourselves, Thou knowest. Oh, come and do it for us by Thy dear Holy Spirit. Soften our hearts under a sense of what we are and what our sins deserve. But Lord, that we may come, helpless creatures, to Thy feet, casting our all upon God's mercy, pleading that Thou wilt look upon us, that Thou wilt yet once more pour out Thy Holy Spirit in that measure which was known in days gone by. For Lord, Thou art hiding Thy face. We know it. Thy dear people feel it. And it's on account of our many sins and backslidings. Lord, oh, may we be found amongst Zion's mourners, mourning over our sins and after Thee. But, oh, might it please Thee that Thou wilt yet appear, unworthy though we are. Turn again Zion's captivity, we beseech Thee. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth into poor sinners' hearts we beseech thee. And Lord, oh, that there might be that song of true rejoicing found in and known in the heart and heard, Lord, with that desire to praise thee and bless thee for what thou art and what thou hast done. Lord, we pray for this guilty land, and thou seest the solemn state in this nation, the wickedness that abounds, Lord, so apparent. Lord, we pray that if it could please thee, have mercy yet, and yet we do not deserve it. For Lord, we have sinned against thee and turned our backs upon thee, and thy judgments are abroad, and Lord, it touches us all. Oh, we pray that we may take it to heart, that hear thy voice in thy judgments, but Lord, that it may bring us to true repentance, that we may be found in real confession at thy feet, pleading, if it could please thee, that thou wilt yet have mercy upon this sinful nation, for the sake of thy remnant, and for thy great name's sake. For Lord, we are a greatly blessed nation, and have been over many years, and yet, Lord, oh, how gross are our sins and our wickedness. Lord, we pray that if it could please thee, yet, Lord, that thou wilt yet return, and that thou wilt come once more, and Lord, that thou wilt raise up men who love and fear thee, and elevate them to high places, whereby they're not afraid to testify of whom they love. And Lord, we pray that, oh, that there yet may be better days. Now, Lord, we would fall into thy hands, but seeking a thankful heart for thy many mercies to us, how many are those blessings that thou dost bestow upon us, and we pray for a heart of true gratitude. And now, Lord, we pray that thou wilt come thyself, open up the truth to our understanding, and Lord, thou wilt give the attentive ear, deliver us each from all intruding carnal worldly thoughts, keep us from the enemy to our souls, and for a few moments now, might it please thee, we may have a few moments communion with the church's living head. Do pardon now all our many, many sins, as we ask these petitions in the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 1116. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it, 'tis a true and faithful word. Hymn 1116.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord would enable me. You'll find in the chapter that we read, in the second epistle general of Peter, chapter 1 and verse 10. The 10th verse of the first chapter in Peter's second epistle. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Peter was coming to the end of his life. He knew it. For he said this, as we read together, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. And so we have in this letter, addressed to the Lord's people, the desires of the Apostle Peter, as we find in this opening chapter, many gracious exhortations he knew were needful as he looked back over his own life, doubtless. And then in the second chapter, we have many warnings of the evils of the world, of that which is found within our heart by nature. And the third chapter, we find the dear apostle looking in anticipation of that great change and of that prospect that he was to stand before the judge of the whole earth. He said this, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And so we have this first chapter full of gracious exhortations as the Apostle Peter reminded those to whom he wrote of those blessings that they were the subject of. And he traced those blessings up to the source of them. And it is this, as we read in that second verse, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And as it was in the case of the Apostle Paul, how he so emphasized that those to whom he wrote and those to whom he spake should have a right knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, a saving knowledge, that which has been revealed to them by the dear Holy Spirit. And so it was in this letter written by the Apostle Peter, as he said this, and to go on according as his divine power unto us, given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so we have there, hath given us all things. That is, if you and I are amongst the Lord's people, we shall be enabled to trace, I believe, in our providential pathways, those favours and blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us. But my dear friend, how much clearer we would desire to have our clear our misty sight to see that which the Lord has done for us, those things that he has wrought in our lives and in our hearts. Unmerited, undeserved, but through the aboundings of God's love and mercy to a poor needy sinner, in sending his beloved Son into this world to lay down his life, that his dear people might live eternally. Given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now what are these all things which he bestows upon his people? Well, my dear friend, we have, don't we, and recorded in God's word. We read this, don't we? He give, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. These things, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He gives to his dear people that precious grace of faith. For faith is the gift of God. These are these all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And if you and I are amongst the Lord's people, we shall be brought to self-examination as to where we are and what we do know and what we do possess and the source of that gift in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those blessings of mercy, where do they come? The source is in the Lord Jesus Christ. They flow through him at Calvary, through that great work which he accomplished there for his dear people. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so we could continue all those things that are in the dear Lord Jesus, laid up for his dear people. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. And notice, it is through the knowledge of him. And so how vital it is that we should know the Lord Jesus Christ and be found in possession of a saving knowledge of him. We've just sung together a most sacred hymn, such sacred truths contained in them. Now, my dear friend, as we sung those words, did it bring us to self-examination as to what we know of these things? Did it? You know, my dear friend, we know but very, very little. But if we know something of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've heard his voice. He's come and fulfilled a precious promise in our soul's experience. Then we shall be able to testify. We know a little of the Lord's mercy, his faithfulness to his word. All things that pertain unto godliness through the knowledge of him. So then the substance of it is this. If we know anything aright, my dear friend, it'll alone be through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Exceeding great and precious promises. Another precious gift, and all pertaining unto life and godliness. The holy word of God is full of precious promises. They are for his dear people. Ah, perhaps one here says, I hope they are, but oh, I want to lay hold of them. I want to believe them. Yea, I want to know the fulfilment of them in my soul's experience. Well, my dear friend, do come and plead the promises before the Lord. Plead that he'd come and fulfil them in your soul's experience. Oh, you say, I long for it. Well, my dear friend, if that desire is found there, in his time and in his way, he will answer that petition. It doesn't come from your and my flesh. It comes from the dear Saviour himself. And if he gives you that desire, one thing is certain, that he will satisfy it, not in our time, but in his appointed time. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You see, it is the walk of a child of God. It's not that outward walk, my dear friend. We may attend the Lord's house regularly, and that's right that we should, for the Lord has said he'll meet with his people in his house. But my dear friend, if it's but a form, if we come and go without having nothing affecting our hearts, without a word entering into our souls, what profit is it? And to rest upon our attendance, my dear friend, that will bring us no comfort. There's no foundation of a poor sinner's hope. We may read God's word regularly, and right it is to do so. We may read and pray at the beginning and the end of the day. But if it's but a form, it's of no value. It's we're no better than those Pharisees who were so satisfied with their outward religion. They knew nothing of a religion of the heart. We may have a well-grounded understanding of the truth and have an intellectual knowledge of the Scriptures. And we may give an intellectual assent to the truth, but to know nothing experimentally, to be satisfied with that, my dear friend, we shall come short at last. Oh, how much there is of a form of godliness about us all. And finally, we could go on, the gift of prayer. You know, this comes very close. The Lord may bestow a gift of prayer upon a character, and they may seem to be so lucid in those things that they seek for, and so touchingly they may seek their answers to their petitions and confess their sins, but know nothing of the reality of it in their soul's experience. You know, and I would not discourage any, but you know, we can pray publicly into the hearts of the hearers. And if we do that, my dear friend, we are no better than those Pharisees. And I believe it's that which is set before us in this word. For the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, is directing us to self-examination. Because if you and I know these spiritual blessings, we shall know something of what our sinful hearts are and how desperately wicked they are. You see here, he says this, the apostle says this, we are to give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Oh, my dear friend, It speaks of the religion of the heart. And my, when we look within our own poor hearts, is there not so much to be ashamed of? Yes, of those things that we say, the things that we do, the things that we entertain in our minds, the carnal thoughts. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You see, there's great ignorance in our poor hearts. We know but very, very little. And you know, if you are being led and taught by the Holy Spirit, the older we get, I believe the amount that we know of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done is very, very small indeed. But you know, that one so exercised in their hearts as to the reality of their religion, they can't be satisfied with an intellectual knowledge of the truth. They cannot be satisfied with the outward form. Oh, they want divine realities. They want the truth written in their hearts, the truth applied there. They want to know that they are amongst the Lord's living family, and they feel so ignorant and so poor. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. You see, how often, if one might speak of intemperant we are, how hasty we are oftentimes in the conclusions that we come to. It may be of others. It may be of our own case, of our own condition. Temperate. Add to your patience, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. Well, impatient we are, aren't we? Oh, how we want answers to our petitions, as it were, immediately. And yet, the Lord's people know that exercise of faith manifested in waiting. And that's where the Lord's people, I believe, spend the greater part of their lives as they're led and taught by the Holy Spirit, waiting at the throne of grace, waiting for answers to their petitions, waiting for the fulfillment of those exceeding great and precious promises that the Lord perhaps gave to you many years ago. And oh, how you were raised up, and how to hope in God's mercy then. And how sweet it was, how blessed it was. It seems so different now. And to patience, godliness. Well, what a searching word that is, isn't it? Godliness. Sometimes we wonder whether there's anything godly in our own heart. How often we are overtaken with the world, the carnal things of time and sense. Oh, how often our minds are attracted and drawn aside and indulge in those thoughts, even of those things we know are wrong. Oh, what ungodly creatures. If we're honest before the Lord, it'll be a great concern to us. Godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Oh, how little there is of that in the day in which we live. Backbiting, whisperings, malicious talk. To brotherly kindness, charity, love to his dear, the Lord's dear people, but love to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it was then where then the Lord Jesus Christ said in those latter days, didn't he? Love waxeth cold. Do we know it in our own poor hearts? Now the dear apostle is speaking of these things to those of the Lord's living family. And he says this, "But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And now, is there not a cause when we have failed to be so unfruitful, so barren within our hearts, so far off, so carnal? Here's the reason, my dear friend, and it is the dear apostle is drawing this at our attention to it by the work of the dear Holy Spirit. And it's this in the substance of it. Examine your own hearts. Prove your own selves. Know your own selves. And you know, it'll be this. It'll bring us to the throne of grace, conscious that we cannot rightly examine our own hearts and be faithful to our hearts. You know, we have to come, as the dear God's servant David did, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart." That is, cause me to know my heart. Try me and cause me to know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, dear friend, true religion is heart religion. It's not the outside. And my dear friend, there's so much of it today, of a form of religion. And if we're honest, there's much of it about us each. Oh, may it bring us to examine our own hearts and to come before the Lord in confession, seeking that he would remember us in much mercy, and oh, that he'd deliver us from all those things that are so opposite to what we would be and what the Lord has commanded us to be. For you read this, "And he that lacketh these things is blind." That is, those virtues. That is, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Solemn warning. But oh, my dear friend, it's there for us to take heed thereto. Sometimes we wonder why we are so unfruitful, why we feel so far off, why we do not gain access to the throne of grace as we would. We do not hear to profit through the preaching of the word, although we assent to the truth of it. Here's the answer, my dear friend. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Now, the exhortation in our text. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now let us be clear, first of all, it doesn't infer that we have any power in our own, we have any strength or power of our own to make our calling and election sure. But it is this, we want to know it made sure to us by the Holy Spirit. And oh, may there may be those souls here who are very tried as to whether they have indeed known the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart. They have been called out of nature's darkness into God's marvellous light. And that uncertainty is often surrounded by this, and many of the Lord's people, with a tender spirit, go back and they cannot trace the time when the Lord changed their heart, renewed the will, and turned the feet to Zion's hill. And you know, dear friend, and yet you look at others, and perhaps you look at the Apostle Paul, and how clear his call was, so manifest, as it were, in a moment on that Damascus road. But what about you? Ah, you say, oh, I do hope that the Lord is leading and teaching me. Oh, I do hope that he has a favour toward me. I do believe that I'm not what I once was. Stop a moment. There has been a change in your heart. There's something been accomplished. And here you see the Lord doesn't often work by the Apostle Paul in that way as he knew it. He often gently touches the heart, opens the heart to attend to the word, and they little by little are brought to know their need, their sinnership. They're dissatisfied with themselves, the path they walk in. It troubles them, burdens them, and yet still they do not have a clear light upon the Holy Spirit's work in their poor heart. You see, dear friend, it's often a gentle work in the experiences of the Lord's people, and it may span sometimes several years from the very moment that the Lord quickened your soul into divine life and changed your heart and brought you into a spiritual exercise. Now you want to know him now. You see your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. How you long to know him. You know you're a sinner, and you feel the destitute of God and that great salvation. How solemn will be the outcome. And the desire of your heart now is this, that I may know him, this dear Saviour, the one whom we've been singing about, but to know that great work which he accomplished in his sufferings, his death, that punishment due to his dear people laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood shed in Gethsemane and at Calvary. And oh, your desire is this, Lord, that I might know it was for me. Oh, that thou wilt come and speak into my poor heart and tell me that thou didst die for me, that all my sins have been forgiven. Is that the desire of your heart, beloved friend? It will be if you know that call by grace. He'll be leading you to that very place, made conscious of what a sinner you are, how destitute you are of all that is good, and to see your only hope of salvation and gaining heaven at last is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you long to know him. Oh, do you pant after him? Is it the desire, a continual desire? Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Leave not my soul destitute. Lord, thou knowest what my sins deserve. Nothing at thy hand, but I come, pleading with thee for mercy, but pleading the precious name, the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ for my acceptance. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for it is to know it, you see, experimentally in your poor heart. And you know, if the Lord has shown to you, if he's spoken a word into your poor heart, days gone by, that he has a favour toward you. You've known it through the effect of the word that he spake in your heart with power that accompanied it. And you know that grain of faith you reached forth after him. Oh, you long to lay hold of him and to truly believe. You want him to come, and your cry is this: remember me, O Lord, with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit me with thy salvation. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You see, my dear friend, we want a clearer view of our interest in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have it's a very misty sight. It often seems to be so clouded. But you know, I believe if you and I are graciously exercised, it will be to know him. And you'll go on, as the dear apostle did in Philippians 3, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the power put forth in my poor heart, that I might be enabled to truly believe, that I might be enabled to truly rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of his resurrection, fellowship in his sufferings. And that is, my dear friend, as we are brought to know something of the depth and depravity of our own hearts, many sins that we have committed, as the Lord, by his dear Holy Spirit, brings them to remembrance and to realize how great they are. Perhaps we look back over our early lives and they didn't seem so great then. Now they are. Now they're a great concern to you. You know, in that measure, we shall suffer in our own poor hearts the consciousness of what our sins deserve. Fellowship in his sufferings. He endured the pain. He endured the punishment due to those sins. He agonized under the weight and the guilt of them as they were laid upon him by his Father. And so, dear friend, so will you and I know something of it in our soul's experience. Yes, we shall know something of the path of the Lord Jesus Christ in the smallest measure. Now, in one sense, we can never walk in that same path that the Lord Jesus Christ walked in Gethsemane and at Calvary. That was a perfect atonement for the sins of his people. But we shall know something of what it is to be mocked. Oh, to be like a sparrow on the housetop, sometimes seeming to be very lonely and far off. No one seems to understand us. A lonely path. The Lord Jesus Christ knew such a path. Fellowship in his sufferings, to be made conformable unto his death. And that is, my dear friend, as the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of his people, died for their sins, each one of his people die to the love of their sins. They're brought away from it. Once dead in trespasses and in sins, now spiritually alive, now living, desiring to live upon their dear Saviour, to walk in his ways and obey his commands. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You say, well, how can I make that election sure? How can I know it? There's only one way.
That is when the Lord tells you so, that you're amongst his chosen people. The evidence of that choice is in the electing love of God the Father to his dear people. Because you see, that choice made in eternity past, the evidence of it is that called by grace in time to know their need and to be brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified for me. Be diligent. Wherefore the rather, brethren, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now I perhaps hear one, I fall daily. I fall, and oftentimes my poor heart is carried away under the temptation of the adversary. Often the sinful inclinations of my own heart seem to get into the ascendancy, and oh, I seem to fall continually. Beloved friend, it doesn't mean that here. It means this: we can never fall finally. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. But we are poor, fallen creatures. But you know, it's when we are brought to know our spiritual condition, that is, our poor, fallen nature, where does it bring you and me? Brings us to the throne of grace. And although we have to mourn over it and confess it before the Lord, the Lord knows and turns it oftentimes to our spiritual profit. And that is, as he comes and manifests to us his love and mercy, and perhaps draws near and speaks that word into your poor heart. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I draw thee. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Where? Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's the prospect. That's the prize for these souls so exercised, brought to know their sinnership, to cast all their care upon the Lord, looking alone to the dear Lord Jesus and his finished work for their hope of salvation and their hope of heaven at last. Well, dear friend, may we take these things to heart. They're warnings of one who is about to leave this world. One who knew what it was to fall. One who knew what it was to deny his Lord and Saviour. But oh, dear Peter was greatly blessed. He repented with tears. And the Lord blessed him indeed, and I told him that he would enter into that glorious inhabitation of the saints in light. Well, may it be your portion, may it be mine. But oh, if we do not forget, if we forget all else that has been said tonight, oh, may it stir up an exercise in our hearts that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ and be found in possession of a saving knowledge of him. Because you see, all those who enter into glory will sing that song of the redeemed and how we may have quoted it to you before, but it's a song which testifies of those things that we are brought to know in our lives here below. And it's this: unto him that loved me and washed me from my sins in his own blood. Oh, may it be the exercise of each one of us to be found amongst those favoured characters who gather around the throne of God, singing his praises eternally. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 239. The Lamb is exalted, repentance to give, that sin may be hated while sinners believe. Contrition is granted, and God justified. The sinner is humbled, and self is denied. Hymn 239.
bless thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But that which has been of thee do cause to abide in our hearts. And may it be the great, the chief concern of each one of us to know Jesus Christ and him crucified for us. Be with us now as we part. Watch over us and grant journeying mercies. And be with us through the remainder of our journey here below. And prepare us for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.